The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Head on over to jointhenerdclan.com and become part of the official nerd community. Get access to premium podcasts, complete with The Crown. If you're a fan of The Crown, you need to be at jointhenerdclan.com because Blake and I podcast there just for our most loyal patrons. There's also free swag, Q&As, bonus After Doc podcasts, and more. Okay, you can get that at all of it at jointhenerdclan.com. It can be a little holiday gift for yourself.
And as a reminder, too, we are only 20 members away from you guys, all the people in the Nerd Clan, picking out our next podcast. You will hold a vote, and you guys will vote, and then whoever wins the most votes, that's the next podcast.
And I got to tell you something, one more thing. We told you the deadline to be a Klansman level for the holiday card or the Sassenach level for the gift needed to be Thanksgiving. I'll tell you what, somebody was in charge of printing out the addresses and he hasn't yet, so you can still sneak in if you want to get some holiday cards.
I've been doing it for your benefit.
So there's still time. You can join today at jointhenerdclan.com to get some holiday cheer from Blake and I. Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners and let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Everybody, and welcome. My name is Mary Larson, and I am a proud Gryffindor.
My name is Blake, and not only do I think Hufflepuff is the best house, I am going to now sing the Hoggy Hogwarts song. If I can get
Lumos
this up.
Lumos is even here for it. She's so excited
Lumos
for this
Lumos is very
moment.
Happy. All right, here we go, ladies and gents. You ready for the Hoggy Hogwarts song?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Hogwarts, let's entertain our friends in the best way we can. I'll
yes.
stand. Maestro, please.
Hogwarts, Hogwarts, Hoggy Wadi Hogwarts, teach us something, please. Whether we be old and bald or young with scabby knees, our heads could do with filling with some interesting stuff. For now they're bare and full of air and tons of flights of stuff. So teach us things worth knowing. And, where am I? Bring back what we forgot. Just do your best. We'll do the rest and learn our brain until our brains all rot. Yay! Hoggy Hogwarts! I love Hufflepuff! Hufflepuff is the best house ever!
Nope, no sarcasm.
You're welcome, ladies and gents.
Do you like that? Do you like how I was literally like just soaking it all up? Everybody.
I literally broke a Mary and Blake commandment.
Okay, so here's a fun thing.
For all of you.
Here's a fun thing, Blake.
All you puffs.
Technically, you know, we're doing the books right now. We're not doing the movie right now. And in the books, they don't all sing in unison.
Yeah.
They don't all sing the same tune.
Well, they did in the film.
Yeah, but we're doing the book right now. So I challenge you, just for the first verse, do it in another song.
What are you talking about? I can't do that.
Yes, you can. What's your favorite Christmas song?
I am.
Nope.
No way. I'm not singing it again.
No, just the first line.
Nope.
What would you choose if you were at Hogwarts and you had to put it to any tune that you wanted? This is genuine Hogwarts situation, okay?
The first thing that comes to my mind is Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Go for it.
No, I don't know why, but I just that's the first thing that came to my brain.
What's the first concert you went to?
Van Halen.
Okay.
No, I'm not singing the Hoggy Hogwarts song to, like, jump. It's not going to happen. No, won't do it. Nope.
Hogwarts.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I literally broke a Mary and Blake commandment for all of you. I'm not supposed to sing. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
This is called The Puffs Came Out. The Puffs came out and showed their pride.
I made this commandment.
And they said, thou shall not ruin, tarnish the name of the loyal Hufflepuff house anymore, okay? You guys showed up. So many of you went to jointhenerdclan.com and you made this possible. And yes, today's episode is all about the Puff love. And I got to tell you what, if we keep growing the Nerd Clan, we may do this more.
Wait, sing the Hoggy Hoggy Hogwarts song?
Maybe, or maybe more. I don't even know. I mean, there is some amazing wizard rock.
Oh, man.
So, before we get into more of this episode, we wanted to remind you, we're back. We took a little hiatus to go on do a binge podcast all about The Crown. You can find that at jointhenerdclan.com if you, too, love to binge The Crown on Netflix and just want to dive deep into all things Elizabeth and Charles and Diana. This season was heavy. It was so heavy that Blake and I have not recorded the finale episode because we both finished watching it and we were like, well, that made us feel like poop.
Yeah.
We're so really depressed, as if we weren't depressed enough to have a lonely Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Now we're even more depressed. But I'll tell you what, our podcasts are not depressing. So you can find all of our podcasts and information at maryandblake.com. And you can find us on all sorts of social media.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Are we going to do you're supposed to do the title of the chapter, your quote.
I couldn't read the Google Doc because someone who has...
We've done like 40 of these episodes, Marvin.
And every time I tell you, I read what's on the screen.
All right, go ahead.
The chapter number one of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Oh, and when I first saw this, I was like, what is that even word, Azkaban? And yes, that's how you say it, Azkaban. So chapter one, Owl Post, and here is the quote. Hold on, I underlined it.
It's okay, take your time.
It's only dead silence.
It's okay. It's great podcasting.
Then he took off his glasses and lay down, eyes open, facing his three birthday cards. Extremely unusual though he was, at that very moment, Harry Potter felt just like everyone else, glad for the first time in his life that it was his birthday. Oh. Because we always start with his birthday.
That's right.
And like the first birthday was so awkward, but yes, he found out he was a wizard, which is kind of cool, but like still a very awkward whirlwind of a day. And then the last book, it was literally titled The Worst Birthday. And all of them have been terrible for him. He's been forgotten about even having a birthday. And this was the best birthday simply because he had birthday cards.
Yep.
So this is a reminder to you that if you want a card in the mail in a week or so, you're going to want to go to jointhenerdclan.com because cards make me happy. They sure do make Harry happy.
You have like literally another day or two.
That is it.
To go.
I mean, you are talking about the king of procrastination right here to get the labels ready, but yes.
All right, here we go. You ready to get into the show?
Yes. You can't hate on Puffs, so you know, I don't even know what to do with myself. I think that's what it is. It's like, I'm standing up. I'm standing up, man.
I don't even know what to do. I can't make fun of Hufflepuffs today. Oh, man. Okay, here we go. Let's do it.
Yes.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
So, did Hagrid not send food this time? Because...
No, he did not.
Is his bakery not working? What is going on? Hagrid always has food. He always has treats. And instead, he sends a book. A biting book.
A biting book. Which I think it might be better than food. I think I'd rather the biting book than like a moldy old cupcake that he got.
It almost got him in trouble, too. He was so nervous with hiding all these books under the stairs. Well, let's jump on in. You know, this, of course, it's just a nice little recap. We're the third book in this series, and... The first chapter of many of these books, you know, has to be a refresh. Harry's a wizard. His parents died because of a bad wizard. He lives with his mean aunt and uncle, and he goes to a magical school. They took a bit more time in the second book, The Chamber of Secrets, to really flesh this out a little bit more in case you hadn't read The Sorcerer's Stone. But by this point, the author's just like, just to remind you what this book is about, here we go.
Right.
And then hold on tight. It's a nice, really short episode. Once again, starting on his birthday. It kind of reminds me of This Is Us, how we always get their birthdays.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that as you were talking about it. And something happens here that's really great. Kind of like in The Chamber of Secrets, that book was a lot more mature, as we've talked about, than The Sorcerer's Stone. Right now, we're already in a place where it is that much more mature. In the description, Harry, well, the narrator or the author, but the narrator is talking about Harry, and they're saying that his parents were murdered. And not only were they murdered, but they were murdered by a dark wizard. But I love the way that it was written. Harry's parents were murdered, mm-hmm. Murdered by the darkest wizard of all. Like that emphasis is so important.
Emphasis
on the wrong syllable. It's so important, and it is so indicative, I think, of what is to come for this mm-hmm. book. And when you look at it in light of the history that is explained in this chapter about the witches and how some lady thought it was great. It was so great that she got caught.
Yeah.
Mary, do you think it's on purpose that not only are we talking about Harry's parents getting murdered, but we're also talking about the history of witches getting caught and trying to be killed or not trying to be killed, but being put on trial and then being potentially burned to death. Do you think that's on purpose? Like, do you think she's trying to, the author is trying to make a connection there?
Between that and what? Because if you think it is, I don't really know where you're going. I'm taking it as to remind us how much the muggles, the non-magical folk, fear magic, because what's about to happen is a run-in with Aunt March and the Dursleys' hatred of magic.
Yeah, I think the connection here exists on multiple levels, and because you and I talked about this in our little pre-show meeting, this chapter is kind of basic, and it gets us
basic, as they say in The Good Place.
I think it comes in subtly, these connections. One, that this book is going to be about Harry's parents. It's not necessarily going to be about Voldemort. Voldemort's there, but...
I love that you pronounce the T.
I know, me too. But also, because it's because I'm awesome. But not only that, we also have the idea that there were other witches that were brought to justice, let's just say, mm-hmm. By being burned at the stake. And it gives you wizards a reason to be scared. It mm-hmm. gives a reason for wizards to be scared of muggles, and for muggles to be scared of wizards. Particularly when you think of what Voldemort eventually does later on in the series, and what he had done in trying to take over the magical world, and in doing so, killing Harry's parents. And see, what I'm saying is it all kind of feeds on itself here. And even though it plays off like a joke that the lady went in there and she would just do the ice charm and she would get a gentle tickling, sensation. There's still this notion like things are ugly. And this book is already tackling some ugly things, at least in terms of the history and what is potentially to come for Harry's awakening to his own family.
Yes.
And to his own world.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Deep, Blake. So deep. My main note on the first page is, that a flashlight in one hand and a large leather-bound book, A History of Magic by Bathilda Bagshot, to which I circled and I wrote R.I.P.
Wah, wah.
Sorry, Bathilda.
I was just thinking too about the witch burning, because obviously there was witch burning back in the 1600s, whatever it is, or probably even as far into the 1700s.
Pretty much where we live.
Yeah, actually, yes, that's 100% right.
We live what, an hour from Salem?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what that means, though? For the people that did die, they weren't witches. They were just burned to death.
Blake, they weren't witches.
I know. But in this universe, in the Harry Potter universe, yes, there were witches that were caught on purpose, and they just did this little charm, and they did whatever they did. But even within this universe, there were people who were caught that weren't witches and just were burned. That's pretty heavy stuff for you know, a 12-year-old, 13-year-old book.
Yep.
Just throwing that out there.
Oh, throwing it out there. I was taking the kids to that giant inflatable place down the road, you know, half hour away. And on the way, we passed by Mercy Brown's grave.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, over there's like the most important vampire in Nerman. Why am I telling my 5 and 7-year-old this? Because we live in New England. It's creepy here. And yes, they burned witches and they did
so
crazy
much weird
things.
Stuff.
So I loved how Harry, once again, you know, working, kind of vamping on that fear that Muggles have from the wizarding world itself. Harry's school belongings were locked away downstairs. And just to show you how unusual of a boy he is, that's the other thing that I loved. The beginning, the first sentence starts off, Harry Potter was a highly unusual boy in many ways. And then it ends, you know, saying that even though he was unusual, he was happy that he had his birthday. So anyway, but there's a sentence, Harry had crept downstairs, picked the lock on the cupboard under the stairs, grabbed some of his books and hidden them in his bedroom. So how amazing that his school stuff, his treasured stuff, is in his old, what once was, bedroom.
I know. That's
something.
And
now he has the ability to pick the lock from the outside to get into the magic within.
Right.
That he once was locked within the cupboard.
Right.
And now he has the power and kind of like, you know what I mean? The skill set to sneak and go do it.
And the way that I look at this too, Mary, the way that you read it, it just kind of brought it to my mind. You know, we've looked at Harry as a kid who was looking to get to the magical world. Well, the first book, it was a surprise to him. And then in the second book, it was, okay, I can't wait to get back. In the third book, the way that this is written, the way that it feels to me, especially in that sentence where he's an unusual kid, it just feels like the magic's already in him. It feels like he is confident in his ability. It feels like he is okay. Like he has to do his homework under his bed or under his sheets or whatever it is, just so that the Dursleys couldn't hear him. But it feels like he doesn't appear to be a kid waiting to get to the magical world. He appears to me as he has the magical world within him, and he doesn't feel the need.
Yeah, it's just like waiting his time, like counting down the days. He's got his little calendar that he thinks of Hogwarts as home.
And I get that feeling because the way that it's written at the end of that sentence is, oh, and he was a wizard. Like it just feels like we're getting more of a sense of Harry the person, as opposed to the thing. You know what I mean? As opposed to the hook of it. And the hook, of course, being that he's a wizard, as opposed to him just being a kid, being a human. And really, that's what ultimately I think why this book takes off the way that it does.
Mm-hmm.
Because it concerns itself with Harry.
Yeah.
And it concerns itself with his family and the mythology of his family and how they are, where they are. You understand what I'm saying?
Not really, but I'll go with it. What I find really fun is that in the previous two books, you know, it open up and it was that Harry was magical and this was the big surprise. Here we are in the Muggle world and guess what? You're a wizard. Well, we're already well established in that.
Sure.
And what's interesting in this chapter is that Ron calls and has no idea how to interact in the Muggle world.
Yeah,
so we're
absolutely
having this really interesting dichotomy where the first two books, it's, ooh, something magical, or, oh my gosh, Dobby, like, what's a house elf doing in my house? I don't even know what a house elf is. To now, we have the patience to hang out in the Muggle world a little bit and have the magic try to find its way to Harry.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it be really hard and awkward.
Yeah, because it's a real example of how the two worlds just they run in parallel, but they don't intertwine all that much. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great because they have the author has done this structure of the books where it seems like Harry the kid, Harry going to Hogwarts, and then there's like this larger picture, a larger story at play. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, she doesn't have the Muggle world and the magical world interact all that much.
Yeah.
But in this case, this is a real great example of show, don't tell. The fact of the matter is Ron doesn't know how to use the telephone. No. And it's just a pure example of the two worlds just using completely different modes of communication, two completely different languages, really. They don't exist together. They only run parallel with each other, which I really like. Another thing that the author does here too is already giving you clues about Scabbers. Because Scabbers was at dinner and the sneakoscope was going off. I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
Just like how she did in the second book and even the first book, she told you the big twist right away.
Boom.
You just weren't thinking hard enough to understand it. I mean, now, granted, you don't have enough information to gather the fact that Scabbers is who he is. But still, nonetheless, that indication is right there. Mm-hmm. She's not lying to you. She didn't just make it up halfway through. Ooh, guess what I'll do? It's Scabbers the whole time. No, it was right there the whole time.
I mean, I wouldn't say in black and white because it's not like, and I was sitting with Scabbers on my lap, but
yeah.
I can appreciate what you're going for. One of my favorite moments of Ron's letter is, don't let the Muggles get you down.
Yeah.
And that needs to be a shirt.
Oh, that's a good one. That will be our shirt for this week.
Right.
I think you can glean a lot from the letters that were written. Yes. Whether it was Ron's letter, Hermione's letter,
Hagrid's letter. Who is jealous of how much learning Ron can be doing in Egypt. I bet he's learning loads. I'm really jealous.
Such a nerd. Oh,
bless her heart. And then, like you were about to say, Hagrid sends a letter, of course.
Yeah, Hagrid.
No food.
Yeah, no. What the heck, Hagrid? You know, maybe the bakey didn't show up that day.
Maybe some birdie bots just sent some pre-made candy from Honeydukes, man.
You know, the funny thing about Hagrid's letter is that it's so Hagrid. Like, each of these letters is so each of the characters. Mm-hmm. Ron's is all over the place. You know, it's like, hey, we did this. We went on vacation and Scabbers was with me. And then we saw all these mummies and mom didn't let Ginny in there. And which is a callback to the Chamber of Secrets because she's, you know, already been overtaken by people. And so, and then Hermione is like very measured and very like, very well punctuated. It's very well written, very structured. And then Hagrid's just like, oh, I got this for you. I can't tell you too much about it. See you when you get at Hogwarts.
Probably shouldn't have told you that.
Yeah, right. Yes. And then of course, we have the letter from
McGonagall,
which is really an official, you know, Hogwarts letter. But still, it brings up a further conflict of Harry's existence with the Dursleys. Mm-hmm. He still has to get permission from the Dursleys to go to Hogsmeade, which is something that he's, you know, he needs that. Mm-hmm. And it's something that he's going to struggle with.
Yeah.
Where when all of his friends are able to go out there, he won't be able to do it.
Oh. Which, come on, Hogwarts. Dumbledore, make an exception. I'm just saying.
I know, right? but yeah, I find it great. And when you consider where we left off in the first chapter of the second book, and where we are today in this chapter of the third book, there's a huge difference.
Yeah,
and we circle back to our question about Harry seeing his future in front of him and accepting his role within that future.
He's already at a mere age of 13.
Yeah, he's happy. He's happy.
Yeah.
He gets his first cards, you know, for his birthday. And for the first time ever, he's happy that it was his birthday. Yes. Really cool stuff.
I agree.
Really,
I agree.
Really cool stuff.
And I'm just excited. This, of course, for those of you who don't know, this is the first book that Blake actually had read of the Harry Potter series when we were dating. The fifth movie was coming out. The seventh book was coming out. And I was like, listen, if this relationship's going to continue, you're going to need to catch up on Potter. And he had vowed never to read Harry Potter, never to watch the movies. But he also fell in love with me. So he agreed to do it. And I told him, like, listen, we need a crash course.
Yeah.
So you can watch movies 1 and 2, read book 3, watch movie 4, and then read 5 and 6. And then you should be at an adequate level of knowledge for book 7. If there's any like pieces missing, we'll be able to fill it in. So this was your first book that you read.
Yes.
So I'm interested to see what it's like for you as a second go.
Yeah, my memory, as I was reading this, actually listening to it, my memory of this book is very vague, like very hazy. I don't remember.
It was over a decade ago, so.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. If you told me in like March of 07 that not only would I have read Harry Potter and consumed all of the films, but then have a podcast about it in my basement with a bunch of people watching us live and thousands listening to us on
the podcast app.
Yeah, the magic. And see, now I see the role of my future, and I've accepted it, and I can lay back tonight and be happy.
In your Hufflepuff shirt.
In my Hufflepuff fracking shirt.
There you go.
Freaking believable.
On that note, you want to close things up?
No, not at all. Not at all, because we have to do a different perspective, Marvin. It's been a while.
Well, you also don't scroll in the Google Docs, so I can't see
things. Well, we're having a good conversation.
Yes.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Holy cricket, you're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Obvious Hedwig.
Oh, okay. What do you got, Hedwig?
These jabronis finally have got the clue that I need to poo outside. Like, they didn't get through their head all last summer, and they would just keep yelling, shut up, make that bird shut up, you know, whatever, man. I'm a bird. I've got to fly. Jeez Louise.
I'm a bird. You got to let me fly, man.
Exactly. All right? So, I mean, and God bless Harry. He gives me his leftovers, but there's a lot better food out there that I can catch in the wild. And then as I'm out, about to get, like, this scrumptious little mouse, freaking Errol.
You know what? What's up with Errol?
Absolute tornado. I mean, honestly, he needs to be just a barn owl. And I don't mean like change breeds. He literally just needs to stay in a barn so he can't harm anybody. But he comes like just trapezing everywhere. Oh, Hedwig. Oh, I need to deliver presents. And I'm like, oh, buddy, you're nowhere near Fort Privet Drive. Oh, I'm in the park. Like, what are you doing?
Please do Errol again. No,
this is not Errol's perspective. It's Hedwig's. So I like get under his wing. He cut my night short. Thank goodness this other owl who I know were friends, but like she came over and rolled her eyes seeing what I was dealing with. Yep. And worst of all, Hagrid didn't even send food, so I didn't even get a snack.
Oh.
Errol had to sleep in my cage. Why? Don't you hate that when, like, your mom says, has a friend over, and the friend brings their kid, and you don't like the kid?
Especially when the kid squawks all the time.
If the kid smells or something, and then they play with your stuff. Or worst of all, if you have to go on, like, a camping trip with that kid, and they sleep in your bed.
Yeah.
That's what it was like for Hedwig.
Don't touch my stuff. When did Errol turn into Goofy?
Because I just see him as Goofy.
Hey, but Errol, Hedwig, you did bring a present from Hermione to Harry. That's important, right?
Yeah. I still didn't eat. Hermione doesn't have an owl. She doesn't know she's supposed to feed me. She's nice and everything. Her parents checked my beak. Because they're dentists.
Yeah.
There you go.
Brittany says, Mary as Hedwig as Errol is All right. You ready for some listener questions?
Yes, I am.
All right, ladies and gents, this is the time where you get a chance to ask us some questions. Whatever you want to ask, whatever you want to talk about, we are here. Let's chat some Harry Potter. And in the live, please put a...
lightning bolt. Previous
emoji prior to the question. That way we can know that it is a question that you want us to talk about. And if you're listening to us in the podcast app, fret not, my friend.
Fret not.
You are not alone. You are not left out of the conversation. Just send us an email about whatever you want us to talk about, and we will bring it up next episode. Marvin, are you ready?
Totally.
Let's do it.
Oh, Miles here.
All right, so let's see if we got any questions here. Although we did start off with one question. Somebody sent it to us in Facebook. I just saw it.
All right.
It was, how do you think Snape would feel about Harry? Do you think he would treat Harry the way that he does if Harry was put into Slytherin as opposed to Gryffindor? And would Snape be just overcome with house pride as opposed to just hating on Harry?
I think the fact that Harry is the spitting image of James Potter, I don't think he'd be able to swallow that.
Oh.
I think if Harry looked a little more like Lily, he'd be like, see, Lily should have been with me all along. Mm-hmm. Like he's in Slytherin. This is the Lily part of him. But he looks just like James Potter. He ends up getting on the Quidditch team. So he's got this athletic ability just like James Potter.
Sure.
I don't know if he could have gotten over it. I don't know. And yes, there's that aspect of house pride, but to be honest, I feel like Snape's bitterness streak runs a lot stronger than his pride for Slytherin House.
You're probably right about that. I think I would agree.
I don't think he would have hated on him as overtly.
Because he's got to have his back a little bit. I mean, he's the head of Slytherin House.
But he probably would have treated him kind of like how McGonagall treats Neville. Like,
ugh. All right, Neville, go do something.
Of course it's Neville. Did you lose Trevor again?
Oh, man. I think you should just take over.
The
different perspectives. Because no. you got it.
No.
You got it.
Okay.
All right. Denise says, it's not a question, but Mary, that was an awesome different perspective.
Oh, thank you. Hedwig is my second favorite character of the entire book series. And I actually just got a Funko Pop of Hedwig. And
should we put her up where the Deathly Hallows symbol
possibly,
is?
Possibly.
Right next to where I have my Snape.
And if I wasn't here right now, I would be owling. Fun fact.
What do you mean you'd be owling?
If it wasn't raining tonight, I wanted to go owling last night. Remember? I said I want the family to go out. It's a full moon. The skies are clear, and it's a perfect night for owling. And for those of you who don't know what owling is, get the book Owl Moon. But in the winter, when the leaves fall down and you have a full moon, they're backlit. The owls are backlit, and there's no leaves blocking them. So you can go out in the middle of the night and see the owls.
What do you want to put the percentage chance at? For me, owling is.
Oh, you are not owling. The only reason you would go with me is because you would be afraid I would get stolen.
0.0.
Really? You won't even go with me to protect me?
Yes, I will go with you to protect you.
See? It's not 0.0.
It's 0.1.
So, anyway, Caitlin Marie.
Yes, if you could send Harry Potter a birthday present, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a great question. What would it be from you?
What do you get the kid that has everything?
He does not have everything.
He's got all the gold in the world. He can get anything he wants. He's got he has a Nimbus 2000. By the end of this book, he's going to have a Firebolt. So,
First off, I would send him so much food. I would send him like Nutter Butters.
He's got all the food he wants.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't when he's at the Dursleys.
Oh, at the Dursley, yeah.
It's his birthday, so he's there for another month. I would be sending him just like tons of junk food and like fun stuff that can't go bad, like astronaut ice cream. You know that stuff?
Thinking of Denise, I would send him Little Debbie Swiss cake rolls.
Yes.
That's what I would send him.
Yes, like shelf stable.
Yep.
So we don't need to worry about the transportation if Errol's carrying it or something. We're safe.
I got a pack of Swiss cake rolls that have been sitting in my garage for like a year.
You know what I would send him?
Still good. I'd still eat them.
I would send him a weighted blanket because he's about to start having some really bad dreams.
Blanket?
Because it's like a hug. He doesn't get hugged by anybody. He needs a hug, and he needs it for his nighttime nightmares.
Hey, Cho Chang is around.
Like, We're so over, Joe.
Okay, let's see what else we got here. Brittany asks, do we think McGonagall and Dumbledore know how petty and awful the Dursley's family really are? Like, please just let the kid do his homework. Brittany, first of all, you're out of the circle of trust. Secondly, Aunt Mary, go answer the phone. Answer the question.
Okay. I don't think they know how bad it is, because I don't think Harry is one to complain. I think... because, you know, obviously he could be like, oh, guys, help me out. But I don't think they fully know. I think that Dumbledore should have checked on Harry multiple times and then he would have known. But I don't think he did. I don't think Dumbledore has done a very good job checking on Harry. So, no, I don't think they know how bad it is.
Well, you see, but the hard part, though, Mary, is we have this conversation of how much does Dumbledore know? And anytime that something happens in favor of Harry... you know, in writing terms, as we've talked about many times, it's narrativium. Sometimes the book needs something to happen. And largely, we as readers or as viewers say, well, that's got to be Dumbledore. Dumbledore is the one pulling the strings.
Well, he is the one that knows that he has to stay at the house. He knows that the protection of Lily's spell, which you don't know yet in the book series, but I see Angela Hickey says, why does he stay with the Dursleys and not Ron? So Angela's newly reading the series, but what you're going to find out, Angela, is part of the protective spell that Lily put over Harry to protect him from Voldemort. Harry needs to have home with his blood family.
Yes.
And so he needs to have the protection of staying with his family, which is why Dumbledore says, like, the Dursleys are the only family he has, and he needs to have that to continue to protect him from Voldemort as a child.
Yep.
So, I mean, I kind of think, like, yeah, maybe once again, it's Dumbledore's motto, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And also, I mean, how many kids could, what we've read so far, that they don't want him to do his homework, they're afraid of him using his wand and reading all these things. There's kids who have worse summer situations. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. There are some kids who work their booties off with their family business and don't get paid and, you know, like scrub toilets all the time or have to work the farms or whatever. Like, I bet you there's a lot of kids who would be like, I would totally not read books all summer.
Yeah. No.
I would switch lives with Harry Potter and be ignored. Like, you know, there's much worse stuff. So I don't think that Dumbledore and McGonagall have the ability to check on every single kid.
You know, as you're saying that too, Mary, it reminds me the author saying how Harry was different because he was doing his homework and he didn't want to...
He didn't like summer.
Didn't like the summer. And, you know, implicit in all that is that boys... excuse me. Do like all those things, and he doesn't. It sets him apart, which again is lending to his character for what we're about to read. Again, getting more comfortable with himself, and just I just love the fact that the author throughout the series has shown some guts in doing what she's done. Whether it's the twists at the end of the book or subverting our expectations or whatever. But in this particular case, especially in Azkaban, she doesn't go down the route that you would think she should go down, which is, okay, Voldemort, this is what we need now. Like, okay, Voldemort was on the back of Quirrell's head. Then he became a ghost. And you would think the next level up is, here we go.
Voldemort's going to come back again.
Voldemort's coming back in Azkaban. And... nope, not at all. In fact, we're going to go the opposite direction. He's not even going to be involved in the story really at all.
I mean, the fear of him is there.
Yeah,
constantly.
But you know how when you make a sequel to a movie, it's up, you got to do bigger and better.
Yes.
You know, and
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, we need to make the Statue of Liberty walk.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
We did that. Let's go get the Statue of Liberty.
Right. Yeah. And you would think, okay, this is the Statue of Liberty walking moment, but it's not. In fact, it gets much smaller, much more personal, much more focused on Harry and his family. And I think that is why I love this book so much. And the movie, too. The movie, too, because Alfonso Cuarón is just an incredible director. And when you have an adult like that directing, doing adult things, you're going to get a good film.
Yeah.
So that's my thought on that one.
So here we go.
So yeah, we are starting off, man. We have to do one more episode of the Keep Calm and Crown On to finish that out. We will do that tomorrow. So for those members over there at jointhenerdclan.com, that will be happening tomorrow evening. We wanted to get all of Keep Calm and Crown On done before we started the Potterverse back up again. But as Mary said earlier in the podcast, it was a heavy episode for us.
Yes, we could have done it, but we were so depressed. So, enough said. If you haven't watched The Crown, it's a great season.
Yes.
Just punches you.
Yeah, right in the gut.
There you go.
So, we'll be doing that tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we'll be coming back. We're going to be doing Mondays and Wednesdays for the Potterverse until This Is Us returns, when we're doing This Is Us 2 on Wednesdays. So
December, we'll be here.
We'll be here Monday and Wednesday.
Dinner
fash. And we'll be doing Azkaban, which I'm really excited
about.
And
also you're jumping back into Voyager.
Yes, as soon as I'm done with Keep Calm and Crown On tomorrow, yes. Wednesday morning, you should see the next episode of Blake's Book Club talking about Voyager from the Outlander series. So we got a lot of stuff going on, man. Mm-hmm. All right, ready to close this bad boy out?
I am.
Let's do it.
Thank you all so very much for tuning in and for allowing us to have that brief hiatus as we delved into another fandom that we love and just really love to chat with other people about. We really, really encourage you, take the time out on Monday nights or Wednesday nights to be here with us live, to join the community. We're about to enter a actual dark time of the year, and I know that it can affect a lot of people. I myself get a little sadder this time of year.
A lot sadder.
For me, Potter like brings me so much joy and being able to communicate with others. So I know you've said it before, but honestly, sharing is caring. If you enjoy this podcast, we highly recommend that you screenshot it and you share it in your stories or you share it on your wall and you invite a friend. Say, join me next Monday night. We can chat all things Potter. And it doesn't just have to be about this book, as you know in the comments. It's really up to you. But we would love for you to be a part, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Join us, and you can also get on our complimentary texting service.
Yes, and be sure to leave us a written review on any of your podcatcher of choice, or just go to our Facebook page and leave a review there. But that's it for now.
Yeah, my name's Mary.
My name is Blake, and I can't wait to burn this shirt.
You're not allowed to say anything unkind about Hufflepuff, so now you're going to have to wear it again.
I can't wait to burn the shirt.
Yeah, everyone just said you looked really good in. Well, so, listen. Nope, too bad, too bad. You're going to have to wear it again a certain day.
Nope.
My name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Mischief managed. Hufflepuffs rule.